Good morning. Yes, the Ministry of Christianity Works, which I'm the Bible teacher in, and we produce Christian radio and television programs that are syndicated on about 1,350 radio and television stations in 160 countries. Weekly audience is somewhere well over 15 million. We think it's much higher, but 15 million is a very conservative estimate. And we do all of that with a massive global team of 11 staff and some contractors and a bunch of volunteers and a mighty God who does stuff that you can just never imagine. I'm going to share, if I remember, I'm going to share at the end of today's message just one testimony from a man that I just received in the US. It's one of hundreds we get every week. But God's word is alive and active. Amen. It's why I do what I do. It's why we are here. For the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the human heart. And this is the scripture that we've been spending some time in over these last couple of weeks, and we're going to spend some more time in it today. 2 weeks ago, we began with the promise of God's rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, before we get into being changed, before we get into being transformed by the word of God, the writer of Hebrews talks about the rest that God has for us. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. We were talking there about, or the writer of Hebrews there was talking about the Israelites during the Exodus, most of whom fell in the wilderness because they were disobedient. And the sort of rest that God is talking about is the Sabbath rest, Shabbat, the rest that God had on the seventh day after he created the universe. The sort of awesome rest. I mean, imagine the rest of God on that seventh day. And God means for you and for me to live in that rest. Even though sometimes the world throws some really bad stuff at us. And the world does throw some really bad stuff at us. And sometimes we're living in the consequences of our own bad stuff. But God means for you to live in his rest. So the two key things coming out of that message a couple of weeks ago were firstly that God's rest, the rest of God, not my rest, not my holidays, the rest that God wants to give us is available to each one of us. The two things that stop us from entering that rest are not trusting God with our lives and disobedience. Over and over again in that passage that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, don't let your hearts be hardened against God. Don't let your hearts be hardened against the Word of God. I was just spending some time in the Word this morning, and Colossians chapter 3. And you know, it doesn't matter where you look in the Bible. You can't read much more than a chapter without running in to God saying, obey me, whether it be in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Our response to God is to obey him. The love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, the Bible tells us. There can be no rest unless we trust in God when the world's throwing bad stuff at us and unless we obey God. That was 2 weeks ago. Last week, we looked at freedom and change, the power to change. And you may remember the video that I shared with you with the woman that was referred to earlier today, talking about changing the stories that we tell ourselves. By the way, I have all of these files, all of the slides, all of the videos, all the books and booklets that I've offered you. I'm going to give you a very simple URL at the end of today's message so you can have them all, including the videos, because I reckon those videos were really, really cool, especially this one, where the woman talked about the fact that often we tell ourselves stories. Like I used to tell myself, I'm just an angry guy. Everyone's going to have to get over it. That put us in a prison. But in Christ, there is no prison. Jesus came to set us free. If the Son of Man sets you free, then you are free indeed, said Jesus. And so many Christians live their lives like that. in a prison of their own creation when all the time they're free. We're free people. We need to change the stories that we tell ourselves. And the question is, how do we change the stories? We need, what did the woman say? We need a truth bomb. Man, we got the best truth bomb in the universe. We have the Word of God, which is the truth. And we talked last week about the power of the Word of God, alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce into our very being, even the hardest of hearts. The Word of God is the ultimate truth bomb. So last week we saw four things. Firstly, the Word of God is alive and active. It has the power to penetrate our heart. It gives us a sense of self-awareness. We're going to talk more about self-awareness today. And it allows us to change the stories that we've been telling ourselves. I know in my life the biggest thing that has changed me, yes, is the love of God, but it's being in the Word of God on a regular basis and believing what God says about me and letting Him shine His light into the darkest crevasses and recesses of my very being. So that's been the last couple of weeks in this series. Today we're going to get down and dirty. We're going to talk about how do you actually break the bad habits. It's one thing for me to stand here and say, you should obey God. Well, that's great. We all know that. We just can't, right? How do you actually break the bad habits, those entrenched behaviors that keep on dragging you down and dragging you back? Today is where the rubber hits the road. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm pretty sure that 100% of these people in this room would love to break some bad habit of theirs. Something that keeps on dragging you back. Your particular Achilles heel, as I love to call it. Now, I'm a pretty smart guy, but I used to smoke 3 packets of Winfield 25s a day. I gave up in 1980 when I watched someone die of lung cancer. I watched her take her last breath in a hospital room. And I remember walking out of that room and taking the packet of, it was Benson and Hedges on that day, when only the best will do. Remember the Benson and Hedges ads? And I picked them up and I threw them in the bin, and I haven't had a cigarette since then. So that's almost 40 years ago. A few years ago, I had to have a chest x-ray done. You know what the doctor said to me? He said, you used to be a heavy smoker, didn't you? And I said, yes. He said, you've still got the scars on your lungs. Almost 40 years later. Now, we know that smoking is a dumb thing to do. And yet, it breaks my heart to see all the, particularly young women. Have you noticed this? Particularly young women out there sucking on cigarettes. And it's easy for us to be judgmental. Well, just give it up. Can I tell you, giving up 3 packets a day was really, really hard. And sometimes on a Friday night when I'm a little bit tired and Jackie and I are sitting down having a nice meal and a glass of wine, you know what? I could still go a smoke. I could still have a smoke today. I'm sure I'd cough and splutter and everything else, but it's so embedded in me. I praise God that He set me free. The question you have to ask yourself is, why are bad habits so difficult to break? Hey? Why is it so hard to break a bad habit? Why is it that if you're someone who suffers from low self-esteem, let's say, and you tell yourself these stories all the time, why can't you just get over it? Why can't you just say, well, today I'm not going to do low self-esteem anymore? We're going to look at that. That's exactly where we're going to go today. And it has everything to do with brain plasticity. The brain is an incredibly amazing organ. It's unbelievable. With all the supercomputers that we have created, they don't come a patch on your brain, even my brain. What's going on in our brains when we are tempted and we fall into the same sin again? Stimulus, response. Stimulus, response. Over and over again. We've all heard of Pavlov's dogs, right? Russian scientist Pavlov, I can't remember what year, I think it might have been the 1800s or early 1900s, was studying the saliva and digestion of dogs. But what he noticed was that even before the food came, before they could smell it or see it, they began to salivate. Now, he thought about that. So then what he did was he would ring a bell and then bring the food. After a few days, all he had to do was ring the bell and they would begin to salivate. Stimulus response. It turns out that your brain does an amazing thing when you have a stimulus. It turns out that your brain actually creates pathways. One psychologist, and I'll share this article with you in the resources folder, says whatever fires together, wires together. This is what brain plasticity is. So let's say that whenever you get stressed out, you want to eat sweet food. It's a very common response because the body is addicted to sweet food. We love sweet food. If you get stressed and eat sweet food, and get stressed and eat sweet food, and get stressed, if you keep doing that day after day, week after week, month after month, you will actually create a physical pathway in your brain that fires when you get stressed. And actually, the Bible talks about this. Yeah, I know you're going to be shocked. This is actually in the Bible. At least the symptom of it is in the Bible. You know the bit in Romans chapter 7 where Paul is talking about his own sinful nature? And remember, we're talking here about the guy who wrote almost half the books of the New Testament. This is what he writes. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. So I find it to be a law that when I wanted to right, evil lies at hand. You see what's going on here? He's finding it hard to break his own bad habits. Oh, my little connection to my wonderful slides has broken, so I've just got to go back there again. Am I in the right place? Oh, I am. That's good. What fires together, wires together. So somehow, we want to get a different response to that stimulus. From a Christian perspective, when we're tempted, we want to avoid the sin. Same thing. Stimulus, response. Question is, how do we do that? The ministry that I'm part of is called Christianity Works. Well, it either works or it don't work. And I believe it actually works. I believe that God wants to make a difference in our lives by giving us victory over sin, because that's what the Bible says. Yes, we're forgiven. Yes, when we stumble, we turn to God, and through the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of our Lord who died on that cross for us, we are forgiven. But we're meant to live in victory over sin. How do we do that? Well, let's imagine that Mary, are there any Marys in the room? I'm just picking a name. I don't want to pick. There is. Let's imagine that Judy, any Judys in the room? Good. Let's imagine that Judy has had a bad week. She's single. She lives on her own. Her boss has given her a hard time and told her she's an idiot. And so Saturday morning, she's sitting at home feeling pretty glum. She's starting to get depressed. She's starting to feel down. And her response, well, the tried and proven response that she has is to go and have another slice of the pavlova that's in the fridge. Because sugar makes you feel better, right? It fires up the receptors in your brain with dopamine and whatever else, and you feel better. And so she goes and has more, and then she has more, and then she has... That's where the term comfort food comes from, right? It gives us comfort. This is exactly what we're talking about. How do you avoid, how do you change that behavior? Here's the really good news. You and I are not our sin. You and I have the capacity to be an impartial spectator. In other words, to stand back and look at our own behavior. That is called self-awareness. Sadly, even though we have the capability, a lot of people just live their lives like Pavlov's dogs. Stimulus response, stimulus response. I am not an angry man. That is not what defines me. I'm a man who loves his wife and loves his children and now loves his granddaughter. He wants to live my life for Christ. But my Achilles heel over the years has been anger. Low self-esteem does not define a person. A sense of superiority doesn't define a person. Your behavior is not you. You and I can stand back and look at our own behavior and say, you know what, Bernie, you shouldn't have honked your horn at that car because you were impatient. So, how do we do that? And you know, sometimes just being told that, being told that we have the capacity to stand back and look at our own behavior impartially is an incredibly empowering thing. Because the next time you feel so glum because you're in the same temptation and sin cycle again, you can stand back and say, hey, this doesn't define me. Now, I have this beautiful little dog. Some of you have met her. Her name is Muffin. She's a little fluffy cavoodle, and she's smart as a whip. I'm always up early in the morning, and so when I'm sitting at my desk typing, Jackie will send me an SMS from the bedroom saying, cup of tea, please. All right, so I, as long as we've been married and I'm at home, I've always got Jackie a cup of tea in bed. The dog will lie in her bed until she hears me open the fridge door to put the milk in, at which time she's up and running because she's ready to go in and jump on mum, right? She's really smart. But she doesn't have this ability. We do. We can stand back and be an impartial spectator. And here it is. We talked about this last week. The power of self-awareness. The Word of God judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. If you don't quite know what your Achilles heel is, if you need some help fessing up and being honest, the Word of God's going to do that for you real quick. You read your Bible, you suffer from anger, and I'll tell you what, the Bible is going to tell you some stuff about anger. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict of sin and righteousness. That's what Jesus said. The Spirit of wisdom and truth will convict the world of sin and righteousness. And I'm telling you, the Word of God will do exactly that in your heart and in mind. That's why it changes us. But how do we then live it out? I mean, it's one thing to read it, it's another thing to live it, right? How do we make the rubber hit the road and change the bad habits we have? Well, there are basically three components. There are three options. We can change our thoughts, we can change our emotions, or we can change our actions. Which one will it be? Which one's easier? Which one's harder? Let's do a little exercise. I'm sorry for those who are colorblind. You may not be able to do this exercise. But let's begin with our thoughts. How easy is it to change your thinking? I want you to look at this slide. The slide is green, right? Look at that. And think green. Think green, think green, think green, think green. Now keep thinking green. How long can you hold the green thought while you're looking at a blue slide? Not long. It's hard. Because you want to focus on the blue slide. So it turns out that changing your mind is possible, but not easy. Amen? It's possible, but not easy. What about your emotions? How easy is it to change your emotions? Can you choose someone here in the room, and husbands and wives, if you had an argument this morning and you're angry with each other, pick someone else. Right? I want you to choose someone in this room and choose right now to be angry with them. Come on. Pick me. Pick Paul Mulroney. Pick David Bussow. Be angry with them. Come on. Conjure up that emotion of anger towards Paul Mulroney. Can you do it? No. Because you just can't switch emotions on and off like that. Now, if Paul came and spat in your face, you'd probably be able to be angry with him. But right now, you can't be because you can't change your emotions like that. So, we can change our mind, but it's hard. It's darned difficult to change your emotions on a whim. Right? Thinking of, what do we call her? Judy sitting there on her couch at home on a Saturday morning, right, with her emotions down in the dumps, feeling insecure and sad and depressed and stuff. Well, the next option is to change your actions. Can I ask everyone to do something for me? Can you raise your right hand? Just raise your right hand. Everybody, everybody. How easy was that? Piece of cake. So it turns out, actually, that out of the three, our actions are the easiest to change. Actions first, followed by your mind, and your emotions kind of tag along. Give you an example. Husband and wife, they have an argument. She's sitting over in that room. He's sitting over in this room. And they're both angry with each other. You know the best way to fix that? Husbands, get up off your ass and go and say sorry and kiss your wife. And all of a sudden, the emotions change. On the odd occasion these days that my wife and I have an argument, it's pretty rare these days, I see it as my job as the leader of our home to be the one to apologize first. Do you know what? The one who apologizes first wins. In the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God. Yeah? Actions are much easier to do than emotions. So Judy's sitting on her couch and she's feeling depressed, but she has a little dog too. And the sun's shining outside. So she decides that her response is going to be, instead of sitting there feeling miserable, she's going to put the lead on the dog and go for a walk and let the breeze blow on her face. And I'm telling you, the emotions are going to change. And the more we interrupt that proven neuron pathway that's wired itself. Do you know what happens? Do you know what the brain does? This is how God created you. It wires in a different direction. The habits change. This is why it's so hard to change bad habits. And the most powerful action that you can take is to allow the Word of God into that space. In the space between the temptation and the sin, between the stimulus and the response, is right there in that moment, let the Word of God in. Last week we talked about go-to scriptures. And I told you that here is my go-to scripture when I feel anger rising up. In fact, I don't remember, well, I do remember the whole lot, but the go-to words are the ones in orange. And I know that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Duh. And do you know why this is the most powerful thing that you can do between your temptation and your sin? Because you're letting God speak into your life. And there is no greater power than the Word of God in our lives. Amen? Man, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is going to do stuff in that space. So husbands, when you're sitting at one end of the house and your wife's sitting at the other and you're angry with each other, what are you going to do? You sit there and be angry? Or are you going to let the Word of God talk to you about forgiveness and go and forgive her even if she doesn't deserve it? Especially if she doesn't deserve it. Forgive her anyway. Because if you don't forgive her, God won't forgive you. And you get up and you go and give your wife a big hug and a big kiss and you say, darling, I'm sorry for being such an oaf. Problem solved. For those of you who have a pride issue and you always have to be right and you have a superior attitude and you sneer down your nose at people because that's the Achilles heel that's wired into your DNA, the wisdom from above is willing to yield. That's all you got to remember. The wisdom from above is willing to yield. There's your go-to scripture. And there's a lot in there. And maybe if you're someone who suffers from low self-esteem, sorry, I forgot to, I'm moving me on, but I'm not moving you on, right? The wisdom of God is willing to yield, James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And if you suffer from low self-esteem, you are a child of God. You are an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. That means that if you believe in Jesus, you get what Jesus gets at the end of the day. There's your go-to scripture when you're feeling miserable and inadequate and you look at yourself in a picture and you hate seeing your own image, or you hear yourself or see yourself in a video and you cringe. Man, you are a child of God. That's who you are. And if you're a man who's addicted to pornography, here's a go-to scripture. Job in the land of woods was a man who was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There's a lot of shame attached to this particular sin. But let me tell you, sin is sin, people. And sin is what we get addicted to because the pathways with our neurons in our brain wire together and fire together. And the more you interrupt this firing, you create a new pathway and you end up being set free from sin. The most powerful weapon in your armory is the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. So I'm going to ask you, what's your go-to scripture? Because if you don't have one, the devil is going to whip you over and over again. What's your go-to scripture? What's the sword of the Spirit look like in your armory? And when you're feeling impossible to change, when you're feeling, no, it's never going to happen, trust what God says. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to all men. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. People, we are looking at the way of escape today. That's why we are here. That's what we are doing. The Bible says that God is the God who speaks into existence that which does not yet exist. That's how the whole universe was created. Man, when God speaks into your life, watch out. God will speak holiness into your life. God will speak perseverance into your life. For the word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even dividing soul from spirit, joints from marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the intentions of the human heart. I said I'd share a testimony with you. Christianity works. You have God's word on that. It does. And the reason I am so passionate about what we do at Christianity Works is we get to tell this good news to millions of people every week. Like this man from the USA. He wrote to me just recently, "I'm a recovering drug addict. My addiction has taken me to low places in my life. I've hit the ones I love. I've cheated on the ones I loved, all for one reason, because I didn't feel loved. I felt rejected and alone through many parts of my life. Like no matter what I did right, I still didn't measure up to the expectations of the world until I found God. The fresh devotions," which are the devotional that we write, "the fresh devotions I get every day remind me that God is always here for me. It reminds me that I don't have to turn to the way of the world to feel loved, that I have a Father in heaven that loves me. It can be the difference between a good day or a bad day. It's amazing how someone you don't know can send a word that relates so much to my day-to-day life. Thank you." Is that because I'm particularly smart? No, it's because the Word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. Men and women of God, I implore you to be men and women of the Word of God. To be in the Word of God on a daily basis, and if not daily, every other day. You know, I'm tired. It's the end of the year. I do the Word of God for a living. You know how when you want a break from work and you just want to get away? Well, a break from work kind of means a break from the Word of God for me, which is not a good thing. So I'm not at a point right now at this end of the year to read a chapter and really meditate on whatever, but I get a verse every day from someone. And I spend 5, 10, 15 minutes in that verse praying, thinking, asking God. Because you know what? Right now, that's all I got. And that's all it takes. I have put all the slides over these last 3 weeks. Both of the videos that you saw, the article on brain plasticity, and anything else that you've seen or heard over the last 3 weeks into a folder in Dropbox. All you have to do in your browser is go to christianityworks.com/CMP. That's pretty easy, right? christianityworks.com/CMP. And if you're not a paper person, remember we handed this book out last week, I'm not a paper person, I read it on here, the PDF is in there. There is a link to sign up to the daily fresh devotional in there. And today at the back, there is a booklet. I write one of these every 4 weeks, The Power of the Holy Spirit. If you need power in your life, go and get one of those booklets. They're our free gift to you. Why do we do all of this? Because I know that God wants to change our lives. I know that God wants to set us free. Because if the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. He will break the chains. Can I ask the worship team to come up? He will break the chains. And we're going to sing about that right now. Can I just ask you in place, as the worship team leads us in song, to get before God, to confess your sin, whatever it happens to be, and ask Him to breathe His word into you. And then when we leave here, if you're not already, be a man or a woman of God's word. Bless you.